What moms do for children, Christians can do for each other as a part of God's calling in our lives as we look out for one another like the family of God, as an individual family does. So God honors our moms in the Bible. The Lord honors moms in the commandment, honor your father and mother. The Lord honors moms at the cross. He turned to Apostle John and said, behold your mother, as he wanted John to take care of Mary after Jesus would die. So when you and I honor our moms, we're following what the Lord does. When we don't honor our moms, maybe we feel a little awkward or clumsy, you know, don't know what to always say, picking out the right card, the flowers, you know, you're not sure how to really properly honor mom. We really can't do it in the way she deserves to be honored. And so Jesus honors our moms on our behalf. He really fulfills that righteous commandment for us. So when we fall short, Jesus is honoring our moms from the get-go, from all eternity past. Rejoice in Him that He honors your mom the right way, and He teaches us how to do that also. So it's not just like all on us. He is leading the way. And He fulfills all righteousness. And I asked a few people some man-on-the-street questions, mostly nurses and physical therapists, about how they would honor their mom, or how they received love from their mom, really was the question I asked. And one said, she listens to me with full, all-out attention. And you could tell that meant a lot to this young lady. Another said, she's always there to support me when I'm at my best and when I'm at my worst. And there was equal receptivity and love and friendship based, you know, no matter what she was going through. Mom was there. That's a God-like quality. That's the way the Lord treats us. So we want to do that again for one another. Another one said, she made me eat broccoli. Okay. Years ago, somebody said, mom was so great, she gave me so many toys. I don't know if that was a shallow response, but that was okay. She always had my best interest in mind. Here's a few more. Mom served tirelessly as a servant, morning till night. So Jesus would call her the greatest, because the greatest are those who serve. And I like this one. My mom said, I only remember the good from my children. I only remember the good from my children. That's, in a way, that's the Lord's relationship with us. You know, all our sins are forgiven and cast as far as the east is from the west. So when the Lord looks at us, He doesn't say, aha, you know, here comes so-and-so constantly lying and, you know, not loving me and so on. And no, He said, oh, I remember when they worked together with me and we showed a lot of love. And He followed me this way and she followed me that way. The Lord remembers the best about us. That's the way He is. Sins forgiven. The best. Moms do that. Christians do that for one another and for others. Okay. And then, mom prayed with me to help me receive the Lord as my Savior. I'm just doing a little poll. First service, there was four or five. I think it'll be more this one. How many received Christ at a time in their life because their most immediate family, mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, Graham, invited you to do so? How many was that true about? Wasn't true of me. There was four over here, five over there, six. I got you, seven, eight. Okay, great. You know, how true? Home life is first base for evangelism and discipleship. Home life. Husband and wife. How we were raised. How we raise others. That's first base. First base for family of God discipleship. What we do when we gather. Okay, first base. Evangelism, discipleship. Family of God helping each other grow. Can't grow on your own. You won't grow on your own. You won't get stronger on your own. You won't get over your problems on your own. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even if you're an army of one, good advertisement for the military, you can't fight any war as one. You won't get past the first battle. And so as Christians, loving each other like a mom's love does, like the Lord does to us. And that's what we're called to. Paul honored two moms in his death row letter, Lois and Eunice. He said, I remember Lois, your grandma, she followed the Lord. I remember Eunice, your mom, she followed the Lord. And now you too, Timothy, have the same faith. That's a great compliment. And that could be part of your generational passing on good news. So how can we live out the honor that the Lord gives moms and also the honor he gives to his family of God, that is all his children. And keep in mind, you might be a physical mom, that's a blessing for so many years, but if you're a spiritual mom, you're a blessing for eternity. Because you impacted somebody who thousands and thousands of years from now, they're going to be, I was glad to know Jesus and grow in him because of the influence of some Christian brother or sister. So here's some ways that we could show the love of mom and the strength of his love for one another. Of course, praying for the children, invaluable. Pray continually for them. Paul prayed for Timothy. He said, I thank God every time I remember you, even though you cried, Timothy. Maybe Timothy was a little bit fearful. Okay, wore his emotions on his sleeves. You know, he wouldn't be the first one to jump up and do something. But Paul said, I thank God every time I remember you, your tears and also your joy. So you pray for your children, no matter at what level of spiritual growth they are, or if they don't believe at all. You thank God for them. You pray continually for them on a regular basis. The most valuable thing you could do for them. One dear gal who was a young adult, didn't receive Christ yet, but she heard all these stories about these parents praying for their children, these parents praying for their children. Her thought was this: I wonder if there's anybody out there praying for me. That was like a, you know, it shook up her soul. And you might be the mom to pray for her, the one, and folks in a church praying for those like that. Pray continuously. Give thanks. Thankful for the prayers of my family. Very much. And we probably not a day goes by we don't pray at least five times for our rambunctious sons there. And we're thankful for them very much. Number two is a little bit rough, but it's biblical. And I'll give you some examples. Take children to church with you until they leave the house and as they grow up. Some are good at doing that. Some are a little hesitant, you know. At 8 years old, I was eight. My brother was 10. We badgered our parents not to go to church, and we won. But we didn't win, really. We lost by winning. Apparently, they didn't want to go to church too bad either because we talked them out of it after some badgering, you know. And some of you have been badgered and continue to badger. And some of the children are, you know, 10, 16, 18. They're 22. They say, hey, I'm 22. I do what I want. I sleep in your house, but I'm doing what I want. But you can bless them by taking them to church with you and just kind of saying, hey, this is a part of health. Just like when they were 16, I know that's when the pressure comes. So right around the bend, you got to watch, I don't want to do that. You know, come on, Mom. I'm old enough now to figure out what I want to do. Hey, I want you to brush your teeth still. It's important to me. You brush your teeth when you're living here. I want you to, you know, be responsible. That's what I want you to do. I want you to take a bath once a week and a shower. If you're going to live here, this is a part of who we are. Church, part of who we are. Same thing. You're not going to scare them off. You know, they're not going to be 25 and say, I won't go to church the rest of my life because Mom made me go when I was 18. Look, if I had a chip on their shoulder at 18, the chip on their shoulder at 25 will be theirs. You didn't cause it. You did not cause it. When they're 25, they'll be brushing their teeth. They'll say, thank the Lord, my mom taught me to brush my teeth. Getting into, go pursue God. I ran into a good bunch from a Methodist church in New Stanton. I said, where are you guys located? They said, right by Brewster's. Brewster's ice cream store. And I said, what a great... And she was a Sunday school teacher. I said, if I was a Sunday school teacher, I know what I would be doing. At least once a month, if not every Sunday. You got 10 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of Bible study, 15 minutes of ice cream. That's the bet. They will remember that. They will be churchgoers for their whole life with those kind of blessings. In fact, they might remember the ice cream a little bit more than your fantastic Bible knowledge as a teacher. So that's important, obviously. But the blessing of, okay, we do this. This is a good thing. Make it a part of your discipleship. Do it more as you see the second coming approaching. It's good to be excited about that. Know all the details tied in with that. You know, the more I think second coming, the more I say, I'm going to check. Got to go to church. It seems to be a Bible thing. When it comes to the day approaching, there's a new song out on Caleb called Take Me Back Church by Michael Cochran. Real good song. You know, he just plays the piano and sings. And he says, take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. It really does happen among God's people. Where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. Oh, I want to go to church. A rarely sung song, but a song that can have great truth and momentum in God's people. And folks in the house can teach that song to the young ones. And God will honor it. So you get the children to church. That's part of being a good godly influence. Train them with patience. Be an example. They watch. They learn more by observation than by proclamation. With great patience, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word in and out of season. You know, and he said, do so with great patience and careful instruction. So it'll be repetition. Okay, this is how we do. Come on, we can do this together, those kind of things. Paul said he would never be a Christian if it wasn't for Jesus' unlimited patience. That Paul's whole life would be an example of Jesus' unlimited patience. So your conversion, the new life that you spread around to other people and to your own family, example of Jesus' unlimited patience. And then you could teach the gift of work as a gift from God, knowing that all ministry is really full-time Christian ministry. This is a great opportunity, open door. You know, as those high schoolers go to McDonald's for the first time and learn how to punch those buttons and get those French fries. And, you know, they could do it with as to the Lord, not just as to you, the hurry-up, grumpy customer, okay, or their boss. And it's such a blessing to go to McDonald's and to have the one or two people there out of 10 who really, they love what they're doing. You know, here's your coffee, sir. Come back again, please. As opposed to, you know, you got the guy. How can I help you? that kind of thing. And all fields of work have that. We experienced that at the hospital this week. You know, 95% of the people, compassionate. How can we help her? Are you okay? There was the one or two. One who, the more we would ask questions, the door was this way. And the doctor, every time we asked him a question, he went like, he answered it like this. Yeah, this is what you do. Yep. We'll get you more medicine. Yep. Okay. Pain's a problem. We understand. Yep. Literally, I was thinking, maybe he has to go to the bathroom. I don't know. But he didn't want to help. He didn't want to help at that point. Okay. But the work was a gift from God. The work was a gift from God. And to do it with all your heart. Serve like you're serving the Lord. You can teach that to the young people. The young people, they'll be better workers than we are. But to love that opportunity. And then the Lord took the man, put him to work. And here's what we also do as godly influences. Always with unconditional love. Love the person no matter what. God is love, says twice in 1 John. Do everything in love. If you're not going to do something in love, why do it at all? It'll be more a bad experience. So do that, please. I'd say that's the big pressure on any adult influence. If you love unconditionally, you will be on your way of having good discipleship for family and family of God people. Have high love, high discipline. If you just have high love, low discipline, you have chaos. If you have low love, high discipline, you have just orneriness. But the Lord does discipline those He loves. So the more you do that, the better. The more we can do that for one another, the better. When you love somebody, they'll respond to discipline well. And then, most importantly, invite the children to receive the Lord, to follow Him. You could do that. You could do that for other people. Become their... Paul said, you know, you have a lot of influences in the Lord, but you don't have a lot of spiritual parents or a spiritual father. So you could be that, again, long-time influence of Christ in somebody's life. And you could just say, have you ever prayed to receive the Lord? I don't know. Well, it's, you know, do you feel like He loves you and you need His forgiveness? I think so. And God opens doors as you do that. And if you're going to be a good influence as either a parent or a Christian, that you be somebody who draws people to Christ. Show them love. Give them good news. And that's the best way to train them for eternity. And God's good to put us in that thing. The family unit was His idea. The church was His idea. Might as well go with it. You think? Might as well go with it. Okay, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for Paul's acknowledgement of Lois, Eunice, his love for Timothy, he was like a son in the faith. Christian to Christian, helping us grow strong. Our parents doing that. The best they knew how. It was providential choice. That You picked out the right ones for us. And here we are, growing still. So bless each one here, Lord, with that sense of gladness, responsibility, and gratitude that we could have. And